Appreciate the prayer. Ask a continued interest for myself and you as well, that we might be blessed together. Psalm 100. I know we've covered this some time ago. Some of you may have some notes to say just the last time, but I know one of the times was back in 2010. And I know if we talked about it in 2010, there's nobody here remembers a word I said. Except the psalm itself. It's a psalm of praise. Psalm 100, a psalm of praise. I have a note here in my Bible. The translator said not only praise, but also thanksgiving. I want to start this psalm by, it's verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Now, all lands. Now, obviously, he's talking about people in all lands. But all people ought to be making a joyful noise unto the Lord, shouldn't they? I know that, like Paul said, that all men have not faith. I understand that. But all men breathe oxygen that God made. All men benefit from the sun that shines in the sky every day. I mean, there are plenty of reasons in the natural realm to thank God and praise His holy name. What can you think of to praise God for tonight? Anybody want to speak up? Everything, that's good. Vision. Health. All right. Amen. Lots of things. We could go on and on, couldn't we? We sang Count Your Blessings tonight. When's the last time you tried that? Good. What's that? Yeah. All right. We could run out of fingers real quick counting our blessings, couldn't we? All right. There are many reasons for those even who do not know God. And we know they're not going to praise God, but there are plenty of reasons they should. Moreover, there are multitudes of reasons for God's people to be praising His holy name. He gives us several wonderful things in this psalm that we ought to be praising Him for. But we don't even need this psalm, do we, to understand that there are reasons for us to be praising God, and we ought to be doing just that. We can go around, maybe we don't have a voice that other folks might think is pleasing, but we could have a song in our heart, couldn't we? I tell you, there's plenty of reasons to be singing praises to God for His mercy, His grace, His long-suffering, His holiness, His righteousness, His faithfulness. My goodness. The more we think about who God is and what He is. And I didn't even talk about the fact that John says God is love. Now, I'm talking about the best, purest love there is. God knows how to love, doesn't He? He's taught us about His love, and He tells us to love one another like He's loved us. Jesus said, as the Father loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. That has come down from the Father through the Son to us, and we ought to be expressing it to others. Now, that's the way it ought to be, shouldn't it? Make a joyful noise. When we think about these things, it ought to bring forth some joy. If your heart has been touched and tendered by the grace of God, if your eyes have been opened to the goodness and mercy of God, then we ought to be seeing and knowing things that we can praise God for, and He's worthy of more praise than we'll ever be able to give Him. So don't worry about doing too much. We don't have to worry about that, do we? All right? But I think it's fair that we ought to be praising Him as much as He blesses us. I know we're behind, but we can try to catch up, can't we? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. God's people ought to be first in line, giving praise and honor and glory. And I'm telling you, it's a crying shame for one who knows God and who knows He's merciful and who knows He's been blessed not to move his tongue in praise to God in return. I think that's part of the reason why this nation's in the mess that it is. Because God's people are not stepping up and giving Him the praise that they ought to. Nobody else is going to do it. And so He goes without praise many times from the lips of so many. I'm satisfied there's many of God's people that are so wrapped up in the things of this world, so busy with the things of this world, they don't stop to give God praise like they ought to. All right, make a joyful noise. I'll get off that soapbox now. But you remember it. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Now, if you've forgotten all of your blessings, if you haven't been counting your blessings, there may not be much gladness in your service, if there's any service at all. You know, I got a blessing from watching Dr. Oz this afternoon. Can you imagine that? There was a man that said there's plenty of scientific evidence that proves there's helpful benefits to keeping a gratitude journal. That before you go to bed at night, you need to jot down some things that you're grateful for. And he said over a period of weeks, it will improve your health. Well, I'm willing to believe that because that's biblical. Thanking God is something we ought to be doing on a regular basis. We don't need a doctor to tell us that, do we? All right, we may need a doctor to write a prescription for us, so we'll do it, but we don't need a doctor to tell us to do that. God's been telling us that all along. And there are wonderful benefits. That he talked about how it helped your mental state. Well, that's not hard to believe at all, is it? When we can set our mind on the Lord, and we can set our mind on His goodness and His mercy and our eternal security in Him, no matter what we have to face in this world, we'll be better off. We'll be far better off than if we get cast down and discouraged by earthly circumstances. No matter how bad they are, we know when we stop and think about them in a biblical perspective, we know they're just for a while. You know, our light affliction, Paul says, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more an eternal weight of glory. All right? So I'm not saying that some people don't have terrible afflictions. They do. We talked about those who need our prayers. And we could have gone on and on and on with many, many more who have terrible afflictions in this world. And we know some people that have been afflicted all their lives. We know people that had children that have been suffering with terrible afflictions all their lives. And I tell you, you start thinking about what they have to go through, you got something else to thank the Lord for. There's plenty for us to be praising God about. All right, and he says, serve the Lord with gladness. The more we remind ourselves of his goodness and his mercy, the more we remind ourselves that anything we have of the Lord is by his grace, because we don't deserve it. The more we think about those things, the more gladness we can have in our efforts to praise God. And as a matter of fact, the more glad our heart is, the less of an effort it will be to praise God, won't it? Why, it's a joy. It's a privilege that we are blessed to know him and to know that he is the only true and living God. To know the gospel, that he sent his son to this world to suffer and die to redeem us from our sins. To know that he's removed the penalty of our sins from us. And to know that we stand justified before him through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that someday heaven will be our home forevermore. Serve the Lord with gladness. You remember what he's done for you. If you remember, like we sang tonight, what a friend we have in Jesus. It's good to have good friends, isn't it? I count all of you good friends, and I'm thankful for each one of you. But bless your hearts, I know, as wonderful as you are, you have limitations. But not so with the Lord. The Lord is the one that sticketh closer than a brother. The Lord's going to be there when earthly friends are gone. No matter what, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His goodness and his mercy endureth forever. So when we think about serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing, I tell you, we've got to think about these things. We've got to be thankful for these things before we'll have any desire to do any singing to his name. You know, you just can't turn on that thankfulness like a faucet, can you? If you neglect his goodness, if you neglect thinking about his mercy, if you neglect going about doing the things that he's told us to do to follow his example, it's going to take some effort to get back into an attitude of worship, because we get cold and indifferent when our mind is so occupied with other things in this world, don't we? It happens. But the key, and this psalm is teaching us, it's a duty, but it's also a privilege that he has blessed us to know him so that we have the opportunity. Why, you know, I'm satisfied that we in this nation, I certainly include myself, we don't realize how blessed we are in this nation. I know there's a lot of things that ought to be different. There's a lot of things we wish were better. But we are far more blessed. Far more blessed than most of the people on the face of this planet. Far more. You know, for that reason, I've thought from time to time that, you know, visiting one of these third world countries and, you know, lending a hand to do something along the way would probably give me a whole different perspective on humanity. Some of our brethren that have gone to the Philippines and have preached the gospel to some that were so hungry to hear, and they would climb mountains and they would walk miles and sit on a split log and sit there for hours as long as you'd preach to them. They'd sit there and just drink in every word. And those brethren would come back home to nice buildings and padded pews and air-conditioned automobiles and whatever comfort we need. And people were so complacent. And one brother said, it's hard not to get cynical when you've seen such hunger for the gospel in the eyes of some, and then come back and to see some so indifferent. Brethren, we need to be searching our hearts There's no reason for us not to be singing at the top of our lungs praises to our God and thanksgiving for His holiness, His goodness, and all that He's blessed us with. Serve the Lord with gladness. When we're thinking about these things, then we can go about our service with gladness of heart, can't we? But when you're not thinking about those things, the gladness is just not there. Now, that's pretty fundamental, isn't it? You can't serve the Lord with gladness if there's not gladness first in here. If you do, you're just putting on a show. Now, some folks do that, don't they? I know we don't ever do that, but some folks do. It's got to be that the Lord has worked in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure, but that's just the start. We've got to maintain, don't we? Now, I'm not saying we'd finally fall away, but what I'm saying is we've got to maintain a remembrance of the goodness and mercy of God. We've got to follow in paths of righteousness so that we can stay in close fellowship with the Lord to feel the joy of serving Him, the gladness that comes in doing. Bless your hearts. And so if we're going to serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing, we've got to be thinking about some things, don't we? It's not automatic. He's already been so far better to us than we are to Him. He doesn't owe us a thing, does He? My goodness, we'll never live long enough to praise Him and thank Him enough for what He's already done for us if we never received another blessing. And so, we need to be faithful in His service. We need to be diligent in our service to the Lord, pressing into the kingdom and enjoy the labors. You know, sleep and rest to a laboring man is sweet, isn't it? All right? So when we think about the joy, now He's gracious. He's so good in blessing us. But I'll tell you, we got to remember His goodness and mercy. We got to think about it. We need to thank Him for it. We need to praise Him for it to enjoy that sweet fellowship and communion with His Holy Spirit. Here's something else we need to do. Verse 3, know ye. Now, we know it, but we don't always remember it. All right? And like we talked about recently, there's a great need to stir up our minds by way of remembrance. Isn't that what Peter said? 2 Peter chapter 1, he talked about he would endeavor to stir up our minds, to keep us in remembrance of these things. And that 1 Peter chapter 1, three times he talked about the need for remembrance, to bring it to our remembrance. All right, so if he's bringing it to our remembrance, we're not talking about something new. We're talking about things that we know. And when he's talking about know ye here, you know this, but you need to be reminded of it. And we need to remind ourselves of it. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It didn't say a God. He's the only one that counts. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. What does that mean? What all kinds of thoughts come to mind when you think about God? I'm not talking about a little g. I'm talking about God, the true and living God, the one who answered by fire when Elijah called upon Him on Mount Carmel, the one who sent flood upon the earth when man's sin was only evil continually. And by the way, that didn't stop with that. But just think about the mighty works of God. Then think of the great love that He's expressed to us in sending His Son. Think about our salvation. Think about our redemption. Think about our eternal security. All these things, when we think about our God and when we understand who He is and what He's done for us and what He's continuing to do for us, and how that we're kept by Him, preserved in Him. All the things that come to mind when we think about God. Know ye that the Lord, He's God. That means He's the one that's in control. That means He's the source of all of our blessings. That means we're supposed to humble ourselves before Him. You know, we're supposed to worship God as He is. And so many people today are trying to worship the God that they want. They've got their own image, their own mental image of God. And sometimes we hear from news media and so forth, you know, when some tragedy happens and somebody will say, well, if God is loving, how could He allow something like that to happen? Well, they just don't know much if they're asking a question like that. Now, I know that's a good question as far as deserving an answer. But we live in a fallen world. We live in a world where sin abounds. Bless your hearts, the good news of the gospel is that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And yes, there's tribulation in the world. Jesus said, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Those bad things are going to happen sometimes. We don't know. We never know what might happen. But this we do know. The Lord is God. And He's on His throne. Nothing will ever surprise God. Nothing will ever overpower Him. Nothing will ever keep Him from performing His will. And so know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Oh, how many people do you see evidence in their lives that they're going about thinking they're the ones that made themselves? They think that whatever they have, they made it themselves. And everything they want to do, they ought to be able to have the right to choose to do whatever they want to. You know, you see that being manifested everywhere, don't you? How wonderful that God has had mercy upon us. We sure didn't deserve it, but He's shown us something. He's shown us that He's God. And He's shown us that we're not nearly as strong as we think we are, and that we need Him desperately. Every breath we take, we need the Lord. And we've been blessed to know how wonderful He is. And so know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people. He's our God. And so He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our adoration. He's worthy of our service. It's He that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are His people. And the sheep of His pasture. We're His people. Would you rather be somebody else's? Who better can take care of us than the Lord? There's not one. Amen. Not the government. And we're the sheep of His pasture. Well, does that remind you of Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd. Like the little boy said, and He's all I want. He's all we need. Lord's my shepherd. Well, if He's my shepherd, that means we're like His sheep. And the shepherd takes care of a good shepherd. Lord Jesus said in the New Testament, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You know, David was a good shepherd, wasn't he? You know, every indication we have in the Old Testament, in the life of David, he was a good shepherd. There was a lion and a bear that came out against those sheep one time. And he trusted the Lord to deliver him, and he fought against that little shepherd boy, fought against a lion and a bear. How many of you would go up against a lion or a bear tonight? It'd take some boldness, wouldn't it? You'd have to really be in the spirit. All right? Well, David was. Now, I'm not, you know, I mean, it was by the grace of God that he was, but he was. He was willing to go out against a lion and a bear, and God delivered him. And that's why one of the reasons why David was willing to go out against Goliath. As far as David saw, he was just some uncircumcised Philistine. Some say David was unarmed. No, he wasn't. As the psalm put it, he was armed with God's might. That's power, brethren. He was trusting in the living God. And you just think how much trust that was for that teenager to run out there against that seasoned warrior who had tremendous strength. And yet God delivered him. Yes, we're the sheep of his pasture. And he's far, far, far better than any shepherd David ever thought about. And Jesus said he's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd of the sheep. You find that expression in the New Testament, all three of those in the New Testament. And we are the sheep of his pasture. Not only are we his sheep, but the pasture that we graze on is his pasture. See, everything that we have is a blessing from him. Another reason to thank him. Another reason to praise him. It's his pasture. Whatever benefits and blessings we have ever enjoyed is from his bountiful hand. You know, the more I think about this, the more I realize I am way behind in praising the Lord. You know? So, it's he that's made us, not we ourselves. We're his people and the sheep of his pasture. All right, if we'll keep that in mind, if we'll remember that, have our hearts prepared like it ought to be, then verse 4, he says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. It would be good when we gather together in this place if we could greet one another, talking about the goodness and mercy of God. How he has blessed us this week. Now, I know there's times when troubles come and we don't feel so blessed. But I'll assure you, no matter what we're facing, that there's still something we can thank God for. See, Jesus has already died for our sins. He's already saved us from hell. He's already saved us. He saves us each day. He provides for us each day. Whatever blessings we receive is from his bountiful hand. There is plenty for us to thank God for every day. No matter what condition we're in. I'm thankful that we all enjoy a reasonable portion of health. I've got, you know, every one of us, you see what's happening in our culture today. Disease is just getting rampant, isn't it? 3 years from now, our health may be a very different picture. I'm not trying to paint a gloom. I'm giving you some hope that no matter what we have to face, God will be the same. His goodness will be the same. His mercy will be the same. His glory will be the same. His righteousness will be the same. His power will be the same to deliver us from whatever we're having to endure. Plenty of reasons to enter into His courts with thanksgiving. And into His gates with thanksgiving. And into His courts with praise. Thanksgiving and praise just go hand in hand, don't they? Thanksgiving is when we're thanking Him for something we've received. Whether it's something in the way of a blessing or whether it's just the knowledge of who He is. There's plenty to thank Him for. And praise is to praise Him for His glory and His goodness and mercy and all of His wonderful attributes. Praise. He's worthy of all praise and adoration that we can give, and even more. So enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. You know, from time to time we hear somebody talking about all the good things they've done for the Lord. Now, I'm thankful that there are people doing good works. I'm thankful for that. But it doesn't take much of that at all for me to hear enough about somebody talking about how many good things they've done for the Lord. But I've got plenty of time to listen about to somebody say how much the Lord has done for them. Because now you're talking. Now you're giving praise. Now you're giving glory to the one to whom glory is due. You know, we say many times God is generous with His grace, but He's stingy with His glory. All right, He's the only one that's worthy of it. So enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. You know, the gates, as you enter into that place, we need to start with thanksgiving, and the closer we get to worship, there's where praise is. Because the more we thank Him, the more we'll want to praise Him. And if we haven't been thanking Him very much, I'm afraid we're not going to be in much of a frame of mind to praise Him very much. And so if we gather into this place, and I realize, you know, we're blessed in the New Testament, you know, they had one place they were to go and worship. Well, in the New Testament day, we're blessed to have many places that we can gather together. Why, we could even meet together in our homes and worship God just as well as we can in the meeting house. But the prerequisite is to have a heart that knows God, that's desiring to praise God. And there's something missing if we get to this place and we don't have that desire to praise Him. You know, there needs to be some preparation of the heart when we meet together to worship, shouldn't there? Sometimes we sing that song, "Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray?" Tell you, it's a dry and dull day for me when I miss my prayer time. I'm thankful to see some nods here. You know what I'm talking about. It's all connected, isn't it? If we are forgetful of God's goodness and mercy, if we're not mindful of how He's blessing us every moment of the day, if we're not mindful of how much He's done for us, even that we'll reach into eternity, there's just not going to be much praise. There's not going to be much thanksgiving, which brings forth the praise. Because the more we count those blessings, the more we thank the Lord for those blessings, the better attitude of praise we'll be in. All right, so He says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. You know, we are in the habit, I guess, of thinking about blessings in the way of God adding something to us. And so much of it is just that. He gives us so much. He gives us more than we even realize, doesn't he? I mean, there's plenty of things we receive every day that we don't even think about thanking God for. An easy one for me is to, you know, I sometimes I don't bother to thank God for the breath that I breathe till I see somebody struggling with every breath. And I have to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. That's just one little thing. So many things we don't even think about thanking the Lord for. So when we think about blessings, we think about how God adds so much to our lives every day. But when we talk about blessing his name, there's no way we can add to God. But we can certainly add in our mind how much we think of him. We can raise our reverence of him. We can raise our awareness of him. When we talk about blessing his name, we're talking about stretching ourselves. Anybody here that doesn't need to be able to bless his name or praise God a little better? Or to be able to thank him a little better? See, every blessing and everything we thank him for, we need to acknowledge that it's he that has blessed us. It's a blessing from God. It didn't just happen. You know, I don't believe in a Big Bang theory, do you? There are plenty of people, talk about faith. Who in the world could believe that some big explosion happened and everything could just fall together in order like it is in this universe? Every explosion I've ever seen created chaos. Not order. God made it. And he's blessed us. And even his blessings are not haphazard. Every blessing that you have ever received is like a tailor-made suit. It couldn't suit you any better. Because he knows exactly what you need, when you need it, how much you need, and what you don't need. And he measures it accordingly, doesn't he? Bless his name. And there's no better name to bless, is there? I mean, this psalm is just full of so many nuggets of wonderful truth that we need to remember and praise him for. So enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Have we done a good job of doing that today? Why not? I saw more of this than I did of that. Why not? Is God somehow not worthy of it? Oh, please understand what I just said. I didn't say he's not. Why? Why aren't we praising him? Why aren't we blessing his name more? Because I'm afraid we're unmindful. Well, what's the Old Testament expression? Unmindful of the pit from which we were dug. We forgot that he reached down into the miry clay. The horrible pit. I don't think we remember that it was a horrible pit that he pulled us out of. In our own experience. You know, I heard a fellow one time say, I like to hear one of those good hellfire and brimstone sermons. Another fellow said, I don't like to hear that. If we remember where we were And if we remember God's goodness and mercy, we'll be thanking Him. We'll be rejoicing in grace and mercy and His long suffering. If there's anybody that should have been left out, it surely is me. And when we're thinking like we should be, we'll all be thinking that way. You know, when on the night that Jesus was betrayed, Jesus told them, "One of you shall betray me." And they didn't start saying, "I know who that is." They didn't say that. None of them said, "Yeah, I knew it was going to be him." They didn't know. But what they did say was, "Is it I?" Somehow I believe every one of them knew they were capable of it. Does the New Testament teach us that? Yeah. It says, "Let every man take heed lest he fall." When we think about God's goodness and mercy, it causes us to remember how He's been gracious and merciful to us who are so undeserving. And He's blessed us and blessed us and blessed us again. And He'll bless us some more before we go to bed tonight. And when we awake in the morning, we'll realize He's blessed us again. He just keeps doing that, doesn't He? That's why He's worthy of our praise and adoration. Bless His name. Why? Verse 5. "For the Lord is good." Boy, that's a mouthful, isn't it? "For the Lord is good." You know, that language just kind of fails, doesn't it? I mean, we could understand that good is relative. But how good is the Lord? I mean, that'd be a good thing to think about. Just how good is He? The Lord is good. How good is that? Well, it's better than we can ever imagine. He's good all the time. I love it when I hear folks say that, because it's true. He's good all the time. Can you say that self? Can you say that about yourself? We could say that about the Lord and know that He's worthy of it to the nth degree. "For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting." That's part of His goodness, isn't it? His mercy, that's what we needed, wasn't it? You know, in Ephesians chapter 2, when he talks about the real condition, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, and how we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." That's the way we were. But he goes on to say, "But God, who is rich in mercy." And here it says that mercy is everlasting. Wow. Aren't you glad that His mercy is everlasting? I think I do know about you. But for me, I need His mercy every day. Every day. I've needed it every day I've lived, and I have sense enough to know I'm going to need it every day I live from here on. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. This is Ephesians 2 and 4. For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. That's where we were. That's the horrible pit we were in. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. And what's the rest of that? By grace, ye are, not can be, not might be, not hope to be, not should be. By grace, ye are saved. That's his goodness. For his rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. By grace you're saved. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Aren't you glad that his truth is still available to us? Will it continue? Well, his promise regarding his word, remember Psalms 12, verses 6 and 7? For the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou wilt keep them, O Lord. Thou wilt preserve them from this generation forever. God has promised to preserve his word. Excuse me, his words, the words of the Lord are pure words. Thou wilt keep them, O Lord, thou wilt preserve. It's not just a matter of some concept will be kept. He's promised to keep and preserve his words. We have his words that by his Holy Spirit he moved those writers to pin these things down. And the more I've studied how the King James translation came about, the more convinced I am of the providence of God in that endeavor. There's a lot of historical events that happened to bring that to pass. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. We know that his truth will endure because it's right and it's never going to change. Nothing can ever break it. And I know that we talk about breaking the law. I read something somebody said one time, we don't break the law. That's God's word. We transgress it. It breaks us, but his truth will stand. His truth stands. And here he says, it endureth to all generations. There was a time when I was greatly concerned about young people coming into the world today. Things are so bad in so many ways. But then I really laid to heart the fact that the same God that kept each one of us is the same God that's available to those little fellas coming on today. And the next generation, and the next generation, and the next. Because his truth not only endureth, but it endureth to all generations. God's promise to his people is that he will never leave them, nor forsake them. And if we diligently seek him, which we know that if we find somebody that's diligently seeking the Lord, it's because he worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That means his spirit is in there giving us that desire. It's not, we're not a robot. He's not making us do it, but he puts his spirit within us and he gives us that desire. And whenever there's one that's diligently seeking him, it's because the Lord's already shown mercy to him. And when we diligently seek him, we'll find more and more and more of him. Like Elder Whitby over in Georgia says, you can have as much of him as you want. I do too. You can have as much of him as you want. And the amount of him that we have may have something to do with how thankful we are and how much praising we've done, how close we're walking with him. Remember a character in the Bible by the name of Enoch? Now, how could you remember him? There's so little said about him. Maybe it's what it was said about him. He's noteworthy, isn't he? He walked so closely with the Lord just took him on up to heaven. We kind of envy that brother, don't we? The Lord just took him. And he was not, because the Lord had translated him so that he should not see death. I'm sure there's a, when we think about it, we probably don't fear death as much as we might fear dying. Or we might think of the pain that's going to leave for those we're leaving behind. Bless your hearts. Jesus knows all about it, doesn't he? He's already been there. He lived. You know, like I said not long ago, that's one of the few things you can say in the past tense about Jesus. He was dead. Revelation, he says, I'm he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. I'm going to tell you something. For everyone for whom Jesus died, we will be with him in glory. Not because of how much praise we've given to his name, not because of how many times we thanked him, but because of what he did for us in dying for us and paying for our sins. But because of that, he ought to receive praise and honor and glory from our lips every day and all throughout the day. So he says, for the Lord is good. Don't forget it. His mercy is everlasting. Don't forget it. And his truth endureth to all generations. Will the generation after us praise God more than we have? Pardon? Don't know. That's right. That's a good thought. We hope they will. Well, why don't we just make it hard for them? I mean, in the sense of going ahead and praising him so much, they'd have to do a good job of it to do more than we did. That'd be a worthy goal, wouldn't it? Well, don't worry about praising him too much. You can't do that. Our problem is on the other end of the scale, isn't it? We don't praise him enough. We don't. We should. And what this psalm has taught us is that we need to remember he's God. We're his people. And in one sense, we're the sheep of his pasture. So everything we have, he's provided for us. He led us to the pasture. It's his pasture. Whatever we have received is belong to him anyway. And so we need to be thanking him. We need to be praising him. We need to remember that he's good. And I want you to dwell on that. How good God is. We could spend the rest of our life trying to explain that, couldn't we? How good he is. His mercy. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. I guess we might ask the question, how much would it take for the next generation to praise him more than we have? I could see how it could happen. If the trend continues, and we're not nearly as blessed as we have been in this nation, which we have been wonderfully blessed, and we are still wonderfully blessed. This is still the best nation on earth to live. No question about that. But a few things could continue in the direction they've been going the last few years, and folk could start feeling their need for the Lord more than we feel it right now. You know, it wouldn't take too many things to happen. Things could change drastically. And folks could desperately feel their need of the Lord. And there might be more crying out to him. And there might be more mercy being shown to them. And who knows? But that's just speculation. Let's deal with reality. God is good. He's been good to us. He's going to continue to be good to us. And we need to be blessing his holy name, thanking him, and praising him every day we live. As much as we can. For he's worthy of more than we'll ever be able to do. But the more we engage ourselves in that, the more thankful we will be, the more worshipful we will be when we come to his house. The more mindful of our need of him we will be, the more peace we'll feel in our lives, the more fellowship and communion with his Holy Spirit we'll enjoy as we go through our... Aren't those things desirable? Sure. And may God help us to remember this short little five-verse psalm. And I know I'll keep going on, but there's still... I've only scratched the surface of it. There's plenty more to think about in those five little verses. May God help us to thank the Lord, to praise the Lord, and to remember his mercy, his goodness, and that his truth endureth to all generations. Someone have a number?